Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Today, Wednesday, the 16th of March, 7:05 in the morning. News was brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And what national day is it today?
Artichoke Hearts Day.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
I love artichoke hearts.
She's not on.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
Well.
Well, apparently something's not working because you are on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
No, well, I can't hear you. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay. Well, we're just switching around in here and trying to figure out what's on and what's off and why did that change from yesterday. Good morning, hon.
Okay, are we there? Okay, good. Well, good morning, everybody. All right, looks like we are going to do the forecast today. It looks like we're going to have a sunny day with a high of 74, overnight lows of 47. Thursday calls for decreasing clouds with a high of 70. Thursday night calls for mostly clear with 44. Friday calls for mostly sunny with a high of 72. Friday night, chance of rain. I took my plants outside. I'm just going to leave them outside my house plants. It's not getting too cold at nighttime, so I want them to get all the moisture they can. Saturday, 100% chance of rain with a high of 60. Oh, Carl, doesn't that sound great while you're out with the youth turkey hunt? Saturday night, chance of showers and mostly clear with overnight lows of 38 and Sunday sunny with a high of 68. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
Okay, good morning. And our guest today is Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, a lot of things happened. Good news and bad news. What do you want to start with?
I think I'll let you pick.
Okay. The good news is you got somebody taken off the streets for a few decades.
Yeah, so we did. We had a sentencing yesterday on a murder case, and he received a total of 65 years, 8 months to life in prison for the first-degree murder of William Humphreys.
Now, this was more than this. I mean, not only was this the one where he killed the dog, and I mean, you got him for animal cruelty too.
Yeah,
so, I mean, yeah, shot their dog, shot him. What was the story behind this?
Yeah, so he broke into the home. He was armed. He had a .22 caliber revolver. He took the that he had stolen from family members without their permission. He stole a number of firearms from that residence as well. He murdered Mr. Humphreys. He shot the dog.
Was there any relationship between them and Mr. Humphreys at all?
I don't believe so, but I couldn't confirm right now if there was some type of a relationship between the two of them.
So he just broke into the guy's house.
Yeah.
And by the way, people that think that .22 caliber pistols aren't deadly.
Yeah.
They are. Many people are killed with a .22 caliber pistol, something that people, you know, think is innocuous, but they can do the job. So he breaks into a house, maybe of somebody he doesn't even know. And did he ever say why?
You know, he gave a scattered statement on, he never actually said why he did it. He did make some statements about, I know there was some mental health component there for him.
Okay.
That he was making odd statements about going in there and why he did what he did. But ultimately, you know, we put the case on in front of a jury, and the jury came back with the
sure.
verdict, the first degree murder.
Now, this may sound silly, but he stole it from a family member, mm-hmm. the gun. Was that like where he was living? So there are laws that say you have to keep these guns locked up mm-hmm. from people who may have mental problems. Is that a charge?
Oh, you know, I would I would have to talk to the prosecutor on the case to get the exact facts on how that part of this case played out
because
to know that.
If that was the case,
right.
bring charges against those people because we have to reiterate to people, you keep the guns locked up. It's we spend 30 minutes in our class about keeping guns away from children and people with mental problems and felons. That's your job if you've got a gun in the house. So
it's definitely important to do that.
Am I on now?
Yeah, I can hear you in the headphones.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about human trafficking. A bill, and then we're also going to talk about Papini, which is a name that I don't know. Maybe we should say
Shirley
the PK.
So
I feel bad about the family.
About.
I'm just going to keep going on about how I feel about bad about the family, and that I felt like the press in the beginning when it finally came to fruition what transpired, that it upset me that the press was posting or showing pictures of her children and her husband, which to me, I don't know about the husband so much. I mean, I'm sure maybe he was a little bit innocent, but the children should not have been posted in pictures throughout the international media, and I thought that was mishandled. But that has not anything to do with the case except for the fact that, you know, I feel when I hear about the case, I think it's sick, and all the people that were involved, how many lives. It's kind of like the woman who set the fire, how many lives are you know, from that act. Lives were changed, lives were altered, the worry factor. And not only that, the stain and the tarnishment on their name, their family name. It just upsets me on that level.
Well, we got a couple minutes here. Let's, if you don't mind, I know we have a lot of things to talk about. But let's
Whichever.
The woman that started the fire
was
put into a mental institution to get her back to competency.
So she's still going through that process. There's the evaluation process, then they go to court to find out if she needs to go to a hospital, or if she can do some type of outpatient treatment or whatever needs to be done in order to restore her for competency. We're still in the middle of that process.
Okay, because she came back to court, and they said she could, you know, they said she was competent enough to come back to court, but then the psychologist has to, the one that addressed the case the first time has to see her again.
Right.
For something like this, if they say she's competent to stand trial, if she was found guilty of this, I mean, there's no way she's going to pay restitution. I mean,
restitution is always a difficult thing because sometimes there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage, and how much can
millions,
an individual person or millions of dollars?
So we're
lucky here in the state of California. We also have the victim compensation fund that helps with some of that too. So because it is there for that reason, because not all the people who commit crimes have the ability to pay restitution or try to make the victim whole. So there is that state fund that can help help people.
Going back to Shirley Papini,
I was going to say, that kind of does right to
she took $30-something thousand out of the victim's compensation fund.
Right.
Was there from the very beginning, I mean, you're in on the inner workings of this, was there doubts from the beginning?
Well, I mean, I think that you have to approach it always with some level of doubt and belief, you know, because you can't just 100% just say, okay, I know this is exactly how it happened. You have to investigate. You have to look into it. And people's opinions were very widespread on this when it happened.
Yeah.
It really was. And
well, it said that the FBI... asked her directly, what was it, 2020, the summer 2020 or 2019?
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
It was quite a while ago, asked her directly, because they had information from where she was at. If she was lying and she said she wasn't, well, what took 2 years from that? I mean, and the feds had this at that point. It was, this wasn't up to you all.
No.
But the feds had it. Well, I mean, if they knew she was lying, you know, to their face because they already had the guy.
Yeah, so what I've learned over the years is that the federal investigations take a lot longer than state investigations, and this is just kind of a very public example of that, because we do deal with and work with our U.S. attorney partners or our state attorney general partners, and, you know, it's a lot different than on the local level.
Well, it just seems like since they'd already found the guy, and they gave her information only he could have given to her, that at that point she would have said, I mean, it, you know, that they had her right then, and they could have charged her the next day. I just, instead of letting this thing drag on for another two years.
No, I get the frustration there, but I wouldn't want to speak on their behalf on how they handled it or the decisions or why they made those decisions.
Well, when we come back, let's discuss the, there's a bill, I think, that about human trafficking or something that we're going to discuss when we come back here on KCNR. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by
Avelo Airlines. Hey, you can fly directly to Las Vegas with Avelo Airlines from Reading. That flight currently flies on Fridays and Mondays with tickets starting as low as $39 one way. You must book direct at Avelo Air. And we have about, we booked for one, and we couldn't do it. So we've got $100 worth of credits there that we're going to use with Avelo Airlines. I don't know if it's going to go to Las Vegas. It could be Burbank, you know, down, beautiful downtown Burbank. Anyway, Avelo Airlines and Reading and our Reading Airport. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb is coming to Reading at Turtle Bay Museum March 5th through September 5th, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures, presented by Senator K. Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Wind River Resort and Casino invites you to explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. This February 13th, we're offering 18 lucky table game winners $100 gift cards just for playing. The perfect score right before game day. Two hot seats every half hour. Just play with your River Club card and wait for your luck to hit. All the table games details are at WinRiver.com. Come and find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
This year's Turtle Bay auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items while supporting Turtle Bay. Register free online, then view and bid on over 100 items. From getaways and romantic dinners to jewelry and more. Learn more about everything auction at turtlebay.org.
Last Sunday morning.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bob. We're on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday, right here on KCNR, 96.5, 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Redding's Dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years. Doug Tooley is the owner of B&T Satellite. It's a veteran-owned business, reliable, simple. Call Doug. Don't call the 800 number. Keep it in. Let's keep it right here in Redding. See why Dish is America's home entertainment solution. So many things going on there. Give him a call at 241-3474. We're here with Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridget. We talked about the conviction. We talked about Papini and the questions people say. You know, the big question was, why wasn't she arrested earlier? And this is a federal investigation. It's not a county, or it probably would have been done. Now, two bills, one that's working its way through and another that was, I don't understand why it failed. And we're talking about the Prop 47 change.
Yeah. AB 1599. Yeah.
Right.
The Public Safety Committee, unfortunately, 3-2 vote, ended up shooting it down. And it's really frustrating.
I thought this was a bipartisan thing.
It looked like it was getting all of the momentum that it needed to, and just kind of getting that final push to get people to call or whatever they can to get that to be approved, but it wasn't, so it's frustrating.
Now, for people that are not exactly sure what that bill is, what was it?
Yeah, so Prop 47 changed a lot of crimes from felonies to misdemeanors, and what we've seen and heard about mostly is the theft situation. Raised the threshold up to 950, got rid of repeat offenders' ability to charge them as a felony. Well, AB 1599 would have reversed back to what the law used to be, and made it easier to prosecute and hold responsible repeat offenders and those that are going in and victimizing our businesses. But unfortunately,
over and over again.
Absolutely.
Okay. And it didn't even make it out of committee.
Mm-mm.
Well,
do we know who the three were that voted for that?
I could look that up, but I don't know it all.
I bet they had a D by their name.
Yes. Oh, well.
Well, no, that's important to know, is because the Democrats wouldn't even let it out of committee to let the whole House. And the reason they did it was they didn't want to vote for it, where everybody would be on the line for saying, I'd like to do away with some of these problems. I mean, the crime in our cities,
yeah.
I mean, it is just, it's reprehensible, yet they have a chance to do something about it, not do away with 47, but one part of 47, and they refuse to do it.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, we got to keep pushing. We got to keep complaining, pointing out the problems with Prop 47. It definitely has not made our community safer, even though that's how it was pitched.
Safe schools and streets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that made. And we got somebody down the road, just next door, utilizing the people's business as his bathroom.
The front entrance. Yeah.
The front entrance of somebody's business.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there was another one, sex trafficking.
Yes. Well, Senate Bill 1042, it's for human trafficking.
Human trafficking.
It would either be sex trafficking or trafficking for labor, either of those. So most people would probably be shocked and have been over the years when I've talked about Prop 57, which we won't get into right now unless you want to, the fact that human trafficking is not considered a violent crime. It's not considered a strike. It's not even considered a serious crime. So if 1042 is able to be successful, it would change that. It would make it a strike. It would make it a violent offense. What that would do is it would take it outside of Prop 57 so that they wouldn't be eligible for the early release from prison that Prop 57 allows people the opportunity for. And it would be more of a significant, more harsh penalty as well, because now it would be a strike.
So help me understand that is very archaic in thinking that would not be a strike if you were part of a sex trafficking, child trafficking, illegal immigrant trafficking, that should be considered breaking the law and a strike against your record, doing time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do time for it right now. It's just not a violent crime, and it's not a strike. So it's going to get the credits are going to be a lot higher for them because it's not a strike. It's not going to be priorable as a strike. I mean, when they go to prison, they would be eligible for early release under Prop 57. There's all kinds of things that come into play because it's not a violent crime, because it's not a strike.
And I think these are important things that our DA is on with us this morning and kind of explaining to us the law aspect. I mean, whenever we hear or we read things or we watch certain documentaries or whatever, we just quite can't understand because we don't maybe understand the language of the law. And for me today to hear that 57 covers the early release for prisoners and there isn't a strike, I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad our listeners, I know I'm not alone, that our listeners understand. Well, there's not strict enough laws to be able to hold people with these heinous crimes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the listeners said one of our big problems, of course, is lack of jail space. Yesterday, during the Board of Supervisors meeting, there's $35 million in federal aid coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Jones says he would like to see it all be used for a jail.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do that?
That's the ARPA funding, the funding from the COVID relief.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's very, from what I've been told, there is a lot of latitude in how that money is spent, for sure. So that they probably can be spent that way. I know that there's, going to be requests for some of that to go to help the business community. And there's, a lot of different areas that are going to be pitching for that. We do. I agree. We need a larger jail in our community. I've been saying that for many, many years.
We need 1,000 seats.
Yeah. And I've done, I keep pushing that whenever I possibly can and be involved in trying to bring that to a reality to our community. And I think it's something we're going to get. I know we're actively working on that, having discussions about that, have been for a while now.
The Eric Magrini was hired to be that person, that liaison to to all the public safety officials,
right,
and to work on the jail. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. He has. He's organized meetings. I've attended, let's say, the operations meeting to discuss, okay, how operationally on the inside, what would we need to address all the different, justice partners and their role in the system. So, yeah, those conversations and the structuring and the legwork has already been occurring.
Okay. But finding the money, that's the big thing. There's grants from the state, of course. We turned one down years ago,
right.
That's where Jones wants to see it go. The supervisor boss said, in addition to using money for a jail, he would want the money spent on public safety in general. He didn't say which specific ones he was, mm-hmm. On that. But I can't think of anybody in this town except criminals. That wouldn't agree is that we need 600 more seats. And what impact would that have on our public safety?
I mean, it would have a huge impact. So, unfortunately, take misdemeanor crimes. I mean, it is so rare and difficult for us to get someone who's violated a misdemeanor crime to actually sit in jail and do custody and do time. I know when I was a brand new misdemeanor attorney almost 20 years ago, it was much different. The landscape of our community and everything was much different, and we were able to sentence someone to 20 days or 45 days or whatever, and they actually went into custody and did that time. And you have, when people actually have to be held responsible for what they did, it does have a deterrent effect on their future criminality. And we've seen that. Because now people aren't being held responsible because of right now, like we talked about Prop 47 earlier today, and theft crimes are running rampant because they know there's like really no real consequences of what can happen because, they're closing down jails, they're releasing or prisons, they're releasing people from prisons, and we just don't have the capacity to take that. And when you factor in AB-109 and who has to sit in custody now in our local jail, we're just out of space. We are out of space.
We've got people in there I've heard for 6 years.
Yeah,
six years in a county jail.
And the jail was not designed as a long-term custodial facility. It just wasn't. It was designed for people waiting trial, waiting being sentenced, and then
misdemeanors.
You know, they would even, yeah. Misdemeanors who are serving sentences, not for career, people who are career criminals, let's say serial car thefts, thieves. That would be an example because that is not something that's going to go off to state prison. So they could end up getting a 5-year, 10-year, something like that, sentence and have to serve it in our local jail. So it takes that bed for 6 years, 10 years.
Are we still having problems getting state to take our prisoners who have been sentenced to jail?
I don't believe that's a problem anymore. I haven't heard that's an issue.
Well, I asked Sheriff Johnson when he comes in. He's coming in at 8 o'clock.
Great question for him.
We had a double law enforcement day in that. Okay, we got to take a quick break. We're here with Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridget. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, 4 branches out there from Cornerstone Community Bank, which is community-led, community board of directors. They're expanding. They've been in the business for 15 years. And since the day they've opened, they've been moving local dreams forward. Their newest branch is in Anderson at 2727 Ventura Street. And Linda, you were there for their grand opening.
Wonderful.
Good time, huh?
Absolutely gorgeous. You know, Milberg and Associates designed the building. It's state-of-the-art. We've got Dave Cox from KIXC coming on next week, and he was there, and they did, a lot of the leaders of the community were at this grand opening. Of course, Matt Mosley is going to be taking over the helm. And so, anyway, we talked about just what a beautiful – it's a jewel. It's a little jewel in Anderson.
Okay. All right. It's 7:32 here on the 16th of March, 47 degrees out there and clear. We'll be right back. North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, offers free financial counseling services to North State residents. Support provided by North State Relief, and they offer free HUD-certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance and student loans. North State Relief also offers financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from a pro at www.balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott, 7:36 in the morning, 16th of March, 2022.
Shout out to one of our sponsors that have been with us for a very, very long time, Jeff Wurst, owner, veteran-owned business, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. You know, folks, we're getting ready for seasons to be changing once again, as they are, as we go get warmer, and then we go from warm into cold. We slide on our air conditioner or our heater. If you have a chip or a crack in your windshield, Jeff from Crackmaster, he owns it and operates it, and he does a fantastic business. Your chip, your crack can grow, and he can fix that windshield repair for up to 22 inches. Give him a call or head over to his place on
3208 South Market Street, or 241-8373 for an appointment today. We're here with Shasta County DA, Stephanie Bridget. Stephanie, I read different things. One was that when people were putting together the petitions,
okay,
that the DA's office went out to two of the houses for an investigation on this, and this caused a lot of consternation.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you all go out to that house?
Yeah, so elections are under the purview of what our office has always done, our Bureau of Investigations. We get those every year. Last year we had 23 cases that were referred to us for potential election fraud or some irregularities in the election process, and that is our job. We follow up on every single one of them, and the one that you mentioned is no exception to that.
Okay. And what is the purpose of this? I mean, when you go out, when you say check up on it, is
sure.
it to what? I mean, what are you checking for?
Well, there's election laws that everyone has
right.
has to comply with, and some of those are misdemeanors if they don't do it properly, or they can be infractions. But our goal is to, you know, go out there and find out if this is something that was intentionally and maliciously done. Someone was trying to defraud the system.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just not aware of the process. And vast majority of these cases is all settled by education. Like, look, this is what we see. This is what it looks like. Tell me the circumstances. We'll explain to you what the law actually is, and let's make sure that this mistake isn't made in the future.
And that's it.
That is.
I mean, that's
it.
Where it ends.
Correct. I mean, obviously there are cases, and we have had cases over the year where our investigation shows no, they were intentionally trying to defraud a system, and then we might be looking at criminal, but.
As that's happened since I've lived here.
Yeah, but that's very rare. I mean, every year we get, you know, somewhere from 10, 15 to 30 or more every year. We have our investigators, they call or they go out, they do what they can to do that informal contact and ask them, hey, this is what we're seeing, this is what the law says, tell me what happened. They educate on it, and then they move on.
Let's go to the phones. Adrian.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You have a question.
Morning.
You're live.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question for District Attorney Bridget, which is, what is the District Attorney's Office doing under your leadership to keep violent criminals in prison?
Oh, sure. Thank you for that question.
So when I
think about that, I think about one of the big things that we do every year that a lot of people don't know we do is anyone who goes to prison that goes from our county, we send a lot of people to prison for murder, for a lot of these types of violent crimes. Just last year, we sent 8 people to prison on homicide cases.
Wow.
And they come up for parole. And so when they come up for parole, so they are violent criminals at that point. When they come up for parole, they are sent, their packet sent to our office. We're told they have a parole date. We call, we reach out to the victims, we research the case, we research how they've done in prison, and then we file oppositions to that and make appearances when we can to oppose the early release of violent criminals. Last year, we had 50 different referrals to our office that we actively work to fight to keep them back into.
Keep them in custody.
So yeah. We are not only putting them in prison, these violent murderers and you know, other life sentences, but we're also fighting that on the other side to keep them in. And last year we were able to keep 42 of those 50 in prison. Unfortunately, 8 of them did get parole dates over our objection, but we are doing everything we can in that area. We're also involved in, there was a Senate bill, 1437, that passed in 2019 that allowed convicted murderers to challenge their convictions. And this is outside, this is separate than life or parole hearings. And we get those as well now. And we spend a significant amount of time filing the necessary paperwork, going to court, fighting those early releases. Prop 57, early release of, so now that would be technically considered nonviolent crimes. They'd be serious crimes, and serious and below. But like we said,
human trafficking
is nonviolent. Domestic violence, nonviolent. Rape of an unconscious person, nonviolent. So there's a lot of those that are going to fall that we as a society believe to be violent, but under the law are not. And they're eligible for early release under Prop 57, and we constantly are fighting those. We work to fight. We got 74 of those that referred to us last year. We sent.
So it's not just putting them in jail, it's trying to keep them.
Yeah,
there.
It's full circle. Not only having our prosecutors in the office on whether they're handling a plethora of violent criminals, it's getting them in there and advocating for them to be, in custody and sent to prison, but then handling the case fully on the backside as well to keep them in prison.
Okay. Is this, you know, the DA of LA, he's refusing to send, you know, he's refusing to fight it. And that's one of the big 97% of his prosecutors want him out of there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, and including that one that was a child rape.
Yep.
By somebody, and the guy got nothing.
Yeah,
the guy got nothing.
He's pretty much, he said, they're not going to be opposing these homicide murderers from getting out of prison. They're
right.
Not going to do that. And that's just, I mean, you're not protecting the victims of your community, because just when the trial's over or the plea is over and they're sent to prison, that person remains, their family and their loved ones or everyone are still victims of crime for the rest of their life. And they they are entitled to us to continue to work to protect them.
Let's go to the phones. Ed, good morning. Hello,
good morning.
Ed. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello, Ed.
Hi. I'm here.
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi. I just was wondering, you know, I know that the DA has to enforce multiple laws in terms of both state and local, but could you give us some of your opinion on the Second Amendment in the Constitution?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, Ed, thank you.
I'm, you know, 100% in support of the Second Amendment. I believe we all have that right. And I myself am a gun owner. I have a CCW. I enjoy going out and shooting. I have my hunting license. I very much am a believer in the Second Amendment and support the Second Amendment.
Do you think the Second Amendment, this is the next question, should we be restricting it to people besides, well, I mean, like, oh, you can't have that gun. You can't have an assault weapon. Those kind of things.
Well, I'm going to follow what the law is, and I want to, so if the law is saying, okay, you can't have a, these silencers, you can't have these types of guns, I'm going to follow the law. It's for me personally, I have a harder time with it because I feel like we have that right, that Second Amendment right. We should be able to have whatever type of a firearm we want. I mean, at the end of the day, the criminals are going to get any firearm that they want, whether they have a CCW or permit or whatever, and use that, you know, for the crimes they commit. So why don't us law-abiding citizens get that right to have what we want? Those are my personal feelings. I'm always going to follow what the law is when it comes to cases.
Okay. We got to take a quick break here. We're with Stephanie Bridget. This portion of the show brought to you by State Granite and Mike Huber. Mike Huber has been doing this for a couple of decades.
Hey, Mike, if you're listening, shout out to you. You know, you do such a great job.
At our house, it's a veteran-owned business. He works by appointments only. He's a pretty busy guy. But what he offers here is a free consultation on what you're looking for. You know, I want to, you want to redo the kitchen. You want to redo the bathroom, other things. He's got the eye. He's got that artistic bent. That's a State Granite. You can call him at 241-STONE or go to estategranite.com. Mike Huber, better known business, Estate Granite. We'll be right back.
It's almost April, and you know what that means. Cool April nights. Prepare yourself and your classic car for lots of show and shines, entertainment, and best of all, classic cars cruising around town all month. This year's official events will take place April 22nd through May 1st. And be sure to check out their website at CoolAprilNights.com for this year's schedule of events and to register your cars. Mark your calendars for the big show on April 30th, which will feature over 2,000 classic cars. Cool April Nights is also celebrating its 31st anniversary as the largest classic car show in Northern California. So, now is the time to polish up that classic car. Dust off that leather jacket and jeans. And get ready for lots of show and shines, live music, and best of all, classic cars cruising around town all month. Tickets on sale soon at Napa Auto Parts.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Do you love country music? Come see Curb recording artist Dylan Scott perform live in concert Friday, July 8th inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets are $60 plus fees.
For tickets, call 1-800-280-UWIN.
A must-see show. Country sensation Dylan Scott in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, July 8th. Concerts are better at the river.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. We are on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Which, you know what, it's clear, but how clear is it today?
Well, it looks like we're going to have a sunny day with a high of 74, overnight lows of 47. We're here with our guest this morning, Stephanie Bridget, our current district attorney. Very happy to have her on with us this morning. Stephanie, we were discussing, we talked about the Papini case, we've talked about, you know, we just want to let our listeners know that if you have a question for our DA, 605-4567, pull over if you're driving, you've got a burning question, pull over, give us a call while she's here. That's one of the services that we like to be able to provide our community, and we also love that our community is so interactive. So if you have something that's bothering you and you want to have that answered or talk about it, give us a call, 605-4567.
Can I be put in jail for somebody being rude to me?
Being rude to you?
Yeah, somebody was rude to me yesterday, and I put my truck in the four-wheel drive, and I was getting ready to push them out into the street. I guess they, in their little Prius. Little white Prius.
Prius versus your truck.
With your tinted windows, which are illegal. I was going to call 911 and tell them that. Anyway.
I think they have other things to respond
to.
We
talked about violence during the break, so I'm not going to get too deep into that. But to me, it seems like we're in a more violent society. But when I talk to you and the sheriff and the chief, you all say, not really. It's always been there.
Yeah, it has been. It's always been there. I do feel like, I feel personally that it has gone up some, but when you look at a lot of the data, I mean, it goes up and down that we have it. And I kind of think that law enforcement and the criminal justice system is under a bigger microscope now than it ever has been. And with social media and all that, I feel like people know about it a lot more than they ever did.
Maybe that's
But they would be, but even what you see and what you know about in social media and on the news is really still just scratching the surface of what is actually happening in our society.
Which leads me to the next question. The Reading Police Department is going to go with the cameras, body cams.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? What impact does that have on the DA's office?
I'm never going to say that more evidence isn't good. More evidence is always good. So if we have the ability to have a video of what happened or audio of what happened, it's always going to help. However, there is the concern I know that I've heard from peace officers. Yeah, but, you know, a video is going to be, you know, right in front of me. It may not take up what I see in my peripheral vision or all these other dynamics. But I think that that is something, if you get to a trial, you talk about, and people understand and people know that. So that one kind of fear or thought about, well, it's not really going to pick up, you know, how I was feeling, what I was perceiving, everything I saw. And that's just something that we educate the jury on, because if you can have a video of what happened, it's going to show you clearly, you know, what happened, where was the person reaching. What did the person say? And it can be used for both sides. It can help exonerate someone, and it can help convict somebody. So if it can do both of those and aid in that way to make sure that justice is served and that the whatever actually happened is either charged or not charged or proven or not proven, then that's amazing. We need to do it.
You know, talking to Captain Ryan Isley from the police department, he says they're training on that in post.
Okay.
And it's just an automatic for them. When they step out of the car, they run their hand up, which turns on the camera. He says that's something you're going to have to train us old guys to do. When we get out, just to turn the camera on. They just do it automatically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have that muscle memory of 5, 10, 20 years of doing the same thing. You get out of your car, you grab here, you do
they
that.
They check their gun. They check something else when they get out. Now they've got to swipe up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The impact of the different cases in COVID, how has that changed?
Okay, so over the last 2 years, we have gone through shutdown of trials to restarting of trials, back and forth. We've been under an emergency order for a long time on trials. So what it's done is it's really increased, given us a much bigger backlog on trials. And even before COVID, we still had a huge amount of trials for the amount of prosecutors we have, the amount of judges we have, the amount of courtrooms we have. So you add this 2 years of trial starting, trial stopping, or even when trials were started, we could have done in 3 days could take 2 or 3 weeks because we had social distanced jurors. We could only bring 14 jurors in at a time instead of 50. So that impact has been very huge. We are back up doing trials again, but again, it's still going to continue to be that slower process. And unfortunately, it delays justice. There's witnesses, victims who are being subpoenaed for months, years, again and again. And I get that that's frustrating to the community when you've been subpoenedyou know, 10 times and it keeps getting delayed. It keeps getting pushed out. But just know that we are working as hard as we can. Everybody in the criminal justice system is to get your case heard, get your case pushed forward.
You know, the thing about cases like that, I've been called to jury duty in 14 years, probably 7 times.
Yeah.
And I've never even been able to get to the county courthouse. They just, I'm sorry. We're going to release prisoners from San Quentin and have them come in before you, Carl.
So they don't even call your number?
No. They just, I call up, they say, you're off, you're safe for another year.
Now,
Linda went through it.
I went actually in jury selection once, and the second time I was
I be automatically kicked off the jury because of the fact that I have police and the DA and the sheriff on a regular basis on the show, or would they trust me enough to have an honest opinion?
I would trust you enough to have an honest opinion. We do not always agree about stuff.
No,
so,
we don't.
And that is okay with me. But yeah, they're going to ask you those questions, like, who do you know in law enforcement? And you start, I always, once a month for the last 6 years, I've had the district attorney on my show, or I have the sheriff once a month forever. And, I know these officers, I know that. And so that's just going to be a judgment call on both sides on whether they think that you can be fair, because, when we're picking a jury, we don't necessarily want to find someone who's got really strong opinions in our favor either.
Yeah.
Because that person can be back there and be so, strong-minded and strong-willed on their position that they're going to alienate people who may not feel the same and end up having this confrontational situation in the jury room, and no one makes a decision. So, and I'm not saying that you're 100% law enforcement or whatever. That's just an example.
But that's what I would, I would think I'd be open-minded enough.
Sure.
Because we have disagreed on things before. But I would, I would just like that experience one time.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be my luck. I'd get one of those. Well, 6 months later, here we are. We're still in there. Oh, you are, and Carl, you're just a standby juror.
Yeah.
So you don't even get to sit in the, and you don't get a bologna sandwich or anything.
Yeah.
You just sit there for 6 months.
I always feel bad for those alternate jurors. Extremely important position job, because there we have had plenty of cases where we have gotten down and used our last juror.
Whether
you're an alternate or not, you are very important to the process.
Stephanie, you run for re-election. How do people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. I have a Facebook page, Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney. I also have a website, Stephanie Bridget for DA. So you can visit me on both of those locations.
Okay. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And for
our callers.
Yeah. Thanks for calling it. Now we have Sheriff Mike Johnson. We'll be following right after the news. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
For 9/11, Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses Congress.
In the darkest time for our country, for the whole Europe, I call on you to do more.
In a virtual speech to Congress this morning, Zelensky appealed for more planes and anti-aircraft weapons and more.
To create a no-fly zone over Ukraine to save people. Is this too much to ask? Humanitarian no-fly zone.
But saying yes to that request would be a serious mistake, according to Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
The no-fly zone means American pilots and American fighter jets in Ukrainian airspace trying to stop Russians from entering that space, and that invites direct combat between American airmen and Russian airmen, which invites escalation.
Cruz on the Salem Radio Network. On the war front, it appears Ukrainian forces have hit a strategic target recently taken over by Russia.
Satellite photos from Planet Labs PBC, analyzed by the Associated Press, show a suspected Ukrainian strike on the Russian-held Kherson International Airport and airbase. The images at the dual-use airfield show thick black smoke rising overhead from the blazes, with at least three helicopters appearing to be on fire, as well as several vehicles. The Ukrainian president's office says fighting had continued at Kherson Airport on Tuesday, with powerful blasts rocking the area during the course of the day.
Correspondent Charles Deledesma. Americans slowed their spending last month, retail sales increasing just 0.3%. Stocks are sharply higher on Wall Street this hour. The Dow's up 403 points. The Nasdaq ahead 363. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm cute kid number one.
And I'm cute kid number two.
And we have been forced.
You mean hired?
We have been hired
to tell you what direct lender FOMO is.
So let's say you buy a new home,
and maybe you use one of those big mortgage monsters,
or someone your realtor or friend recommends.
And then a few months later, you hear us being forced,
hired, to tell you about our mortgage team's direct lender advantage.
And then you feel like you missed out,
because you probably did miss out,
and that is direct lender FOMO.
It's Ryan, and our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This often allows us to get you a better rate on that new home mortgage, saving you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeractus.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Live record Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
South Korea's military says a North Korean missile fired from its capital region exploded in midair, an apparent failed launch. Today's launch was detected amid speculation that the North could soon launch its longest-range missile, its most significant provocation since 2017. Details of the missile explosion are not available. It was the 10th such weapons test this year and shows the North is determined to press ahead on its push to modernize its weapons arsenal and pressure its rivals. China's leader is trying to calm jittery investors by promising more help for its struggling real estate industry, internet companies, and entrepreneurs who want to raise money abroad. That comes after regulatory crackdowns fueled uncertainty and caused Chinese stock prices to plunge. Officials at a cabinet meeting say regulators should issue market-friendly policies to invigorate the economy. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. One small misstep leads to a big problem on the water.
A salvage team and naval architects are working together to figure out how to free a cargo ship stuck in the Chesapeake Bay. The U.S. Coast Guard says the Ever Forward ran aground Sunday night while traveling from the port of Baltimore to Norfolk, Virginia. The ship is not impeding any navigation, unlike its sister ship, the Ever Given, which blocked the Suez Canal for days after getting stuck last year. The Ever Forward is operated by Taiwan-based Evergreen Marine Corporation. William Doyle is executive director of the Maryland Port Administration. He says technical experts boarded the ship Monday to evaluate its condition. No damage or injuries have been reported. Keith Peters reporting.
Sarah Bloom Raskin withdrawing her nomination to the Fed's Board of Governors after a key Democrat, Senator Joe Manchin, joined with all Senate Republicans to oppose her confirmation. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, 16th of March, 2022, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And it was National something day. What was it?
I said artichoke heart day.
Yeah. Is that it?
No, there was like five of them.
Well, give me one more.
All right. Well, let's do the weather until he comes back with
okay,
that. How's
well,
that?
I'm ready when you are.
No, he's ready. Oh. He's ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Give us that, and then you can go back to whatever you do.
National Freedom Information Day. Freedom of Information Day.
Oh.
National SBDC, which is Small Business Development Center.
Oh, we'll take it.
Like that.
So,
okay.
All right. Well, those are kind of interesting.
We like those.
I always like how they, you know, who's on the board. In fact, maybe we should check into that, Carl. Who's on the board of National Day? Like, how do you become? Do they ever have National Radio Personality Day, or do they have National Veteran-Owned Business Day?
There should be.
There should be.
You know what? There's probably 12 different organizations that put these things out, and you could probably just say, "Hey, this should be this one."
Have a National Sheriff's Day.
National.
That'd be a great one.
Yeah.
What day is it? National Wednesday Camel Day.
Okay, 48 degrees in the downtown studios. Good morning, everybody, on this 8 o'clock edition of KCNR with Carl and Linda Bott. We love our Wednesdays today, and we love being in the North State. So it's 48 degrees, and we'll have a sunny day with 74 overnight lows with increasing clouds up to 47. Tomorrow calls for decreasing clouds with a high of 70 and overnight lows of 44. Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 72 and Friday night chance of rain with 49. The overnight lows for Saturday night with chance of rain once again is 38. 100% chance of rain on Saturday, as they call 60, and Sunday will be sunny with a high of 68. There's a forecast and the current weather brought to you by our friends down in Anderson, the Kenny family, Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793.
Okay, just let me say something here before we start with Sheriff Mike Johnson, who's standing here with his hand on his gun, so I'm not sure.
It's in his back pocket.
My brother, Ted Leidy. I mean, he is my brother. We're brothers from a different mother. But when people see us together, they think we're related.
Right.
Right. I'm much better looking, but he is taller. So this is National Jake. And I've talked about the Jake hunting. We take the young hunters out.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Ted right now? The man that organized this and got it started. So where's Ted right now?
I know. Pick me.
Okay.
He is selfishly vacationing in Hawaii.
Well, yeah. It's not a vacation. He's hunting turkeys in Hawaii.
That is selfishly vacationing in Hawaii.
His dream.
Sent a photo yesterday of Lisa. And Lisa,
yeah,
why you aren't in movies?
Got his picture.
And they're there while he's hunting turkeys. So he'll be back Friday night real late. So Saturday I'm going out with our hunter. So, did you just hear 100% chance of rain Saturday?
Hard to complain about that, though, Carl. I know the rain doesn't good for turkey.
Well, you sit in that blind and you bless every single drop.
Well, you
bless
know what?
You.
We need the rain. That's true. And the good thing about the rain is it can drive them out of the hills down to where they
absolutely.
Can graze out there or peck for worms. So we may have a great day that day.
Well, you
day.
Know when it rains here, it rains a little bit. It's not like Hawaii, but it rains and then it... Maybe there's a break, and then it rains, and then there's a break. So, you know, there was, I don't think since we've been here maybe in 15 years where they had, when I first moved to Reading, it rained. It felt like it rained for 4 months.
No, that was
it
in 2005.
Rained for 4 months.
Sure, we should do that again.
Yeah,
we need
know.
50 more feet of snowfall. We need anyway. Sheriff Johnson, thanks for joining us today. But I had to vent a little bit about Ted being in Hawaii. I hope you're listening right now.
Yeah, sure. They were basking on the beach. Yeah, you already. Yeah. But the goal again, Sheriff, and you know this too. That's the goal cool. is, and Honey. And it's very interesting. No, he wants to get
the grand
a
slam.
Turkey
grand
in every region where there's all these different species that are different, that are species that originate or live in this region
in this
only.
Region. Right.
It's not like those turkeys in Hawaii are the same turkeys in Redding.
No, and he wants a turkey in 49 states. And because there's turkeys in 49 states. There's none in Alaska, but they are in Hawaii. Okay, Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning. I'd just like to point out that Linda didn't even think what day it is. She didn't even smile on that today.
Yeah, what happened to
you? Well, I think I was just coming
out of the loop here.
A little
it's
bit.
It's my favorite part of the show.
I do,
when
too,
I
and
out.
I hope he'll play it again. And oh, and he played it at the 8 o'clock.
Linda.
Well,
okay, so
second
I'm,
favorite. Thanks, Carl.
No, I'm a little off because that microphone that I'm usually on, when I got on the air this morning, I was like, hello, can you hear me? So it just rattled me.
Gotcha.
I'm over
We've
here where only half of the headphone works.
We've replaced the microphone.
Yeah.
We've replaced the cord. It's not so we're
we'll
have to
figure
go
it out.
I
probably blew it out with my incredible energy that I brought in. But anyway, so thank you for that.
I'm sure that was it.
Hi.
Yesterday.
So what's new? I want to just let me jump in here with Sheriff Johnson because I didn't know that you were talking since you're on that side. What would you say right now is the temperature in psychologically is the temperature right now within the Sheriff Department?
Oh, very good, actually. Yeah, I think things are going fabulous for us. We, there's adjustment period, which we've talked about a little bit before, about me coming in from the outside and the turmoil that they were going through and difficulties. And I think we have definitely turned the corner, and we're starting to regroup and reconnect with our community. And we're starting to get people coming in and getting hired, and I think things are going very well. And I say that very humbly because I don't, I always have to touch base and find that out because I don't exactly always know if I'm getting the right information or not. But the deputies to my command staff are just great about touching base with me and coming in my office and telling me like it is, which is what I want. That's how the organization gets better. So I think it's going good, Linda.
If you line yourself with straight shooters, whether one wants to hear it or not, we like to have straight shooters in our life. We're straight shooters. Carl and I are straight shooters with each other. So I understand that on so many levels as a leader that you want the people to come to you and tell you what is broken, what's not working. And so I just was kind of curious with you because you've had to assess your departments. And that's what we like to hear, like whether you're breaking something apart and restructuring it or what you're doing since you've been at the helm.
You didn't have to tear it down like you do in boot camp.
I did not, no.
You had, I think what we're asking here is you had a real strong outfit there, but it sure needed tweaking.
Well, and it's the biggest thing. You're right. There wasn't a matter of they were messed up and I had to tear it all down. It was a matter of I had to gain their trust. They had to gain mine because we haven't worked together ever. I mean, other than allied agency stuff. So, it's different philosophies and different directions and just getting everybody on the same page and unified to do that. And I think we've come to that point and now we're starting to really see some of the results of that.
Okay. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick early break. Portion of the show.
We're going to talk hunting when we come back,
no,
right?
We're going to talk jail.
We're going to talk jail, okay.
Something Patrick, I asked Stephanie Bridget in the last hour about this.
Okay.
Patrick Jones says he wants to use that $34 million for a jail, and that's it. And I find that very kind of, in some ways, very heartening. But let's talk about that when we get
back. Sure, okay.
This portion of the show, Linda, is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding, one of your... You know, if I put a blind up for turkeys, you put a blind up in Four Winds Jewelry.
I do need to go in there and get, I have some jewelry that needs to be repaired. So they can do that kind of work. As you're listening and you're thinking about that, I know you may think about little things like the prongs in your wedding ring or the prongs in the jewelry that maybe your mother gave you, are they secure and sufficient? It's no, there's nothing worse than looking down and seeing that a stone has fallen out because you haven't looked at having your jewelry updated and repaired and fixed. So they do that kind of work as well.
Okay. That's Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Wind River Resort and Casino's got the grub, games, and giveaways this St. Patrick's Day. Food specials, green beer, table games, swag to win, and giveaways Thursday, March 17th. Come down and celebrate with us.
Don't forget to wear green.
Find your moments at the river. Enjoy an affordable staycation experience at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Standard rooms only $89 a night, Sunday through Thursday.
Valid through March 31st.
Must have a River Club card. Some restrictions apply.
Mention promo code WINTER2022 and find your moment at the river.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio station. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's top cardiovascular hospitals in the top 50. Got an A rating and from the Leapfrog organization that measures hospitals throughout the United States and got an A rating, their highest rating. One of the highest ratings by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Hey, it's your health, your choice. Why not select a hospital that has been nationally recognized for being one of the best in the nation? That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson and jail. Now, Supervisor Jones said that this $34 million of ARPA money, he would like to see it all go into it for a jail. Sheriff Supervisor Baugh agreed, but he said, and besides that, he'd want to see some money spent on public safety. Supervisor Rickert said she'd like to see expanding broadband internet, nonprofits that benefit children's programs, fire districts, substance abuse treatment programs, and fuel reduction programs. Those are kind of like diametrically opposed in this. It'll be interesting to see what happens. If all of that money went to the jail, what would happen then, in your opinion?
Well, it would be a big hurdle, a boost, into where we are in the project. So we've already been talking a new jail, and we kind of term it as a detention facility based right. on what we talked about before, Carl, with
yeah.
all the different aspects, mental health, drug addiction, work release, everything encompassed in that jail, excuse me, in that facility. So if we were to get the $32 million all dedicated to building this facility, that puts us way ahead of the curve where we
it's
currently
like the down payment on the
yeah,
mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about close to a $100 to $120 million project here to build out a new facility correctly and to accommodate all the needs of all the different disciplines we talked about in this county and to really make a difference, because we want to be able to take in the homeless. We want to be able to take in mental health. We want to treat drug addiction. We want to incarcerate a lot of people who just don't get it. So that
we're talking about 1,000. This is 1,000. Bed facility, is that correct?
That's certainly what I would like to see. That would be optimal, so we don't have this capacity problem anymore, and we don't have to release people just because we can't hold them because we don't have bed space. That's a problem, and if we're going to do the project and put the money into the project, it needs to be adequate to serve and in the future serve this county.
Well, 1,000 seats would definitely make a huge difference.
Sure.
And the fact is ones that just get turned out, like you said, now we'd have a bed form for 20, 30, 40 days, whatever it takes to that. But I think people understand we have people that you all pick up, or that the cities pick up, the county law enforcement picks up, got mental problems.
Oh, yeah. And not an adequate facility to treat or hold those folks. I mean, that's something that's been kind of forced on law enforcement when the closing of all the mental health facilities across the state. It's now become law enforcement's problem to deal with the mentally ill and incarceration in the capacity, at least, that the traditional jail has, like we do, is not set up for that. And we don't have the adequate partners in the jail working full-time to accommodate that. But the new facility would.
Now, we're talking about something. How many acres would that be, would you say?
We need anywhere from 50 to 60 acres to build this design. Because if you okay. remember from our last conversation, we're talking about a linear design. We're not talking
right.
it's not vertical, yeah. not up. It's to be efficient and maximize staffing, you know, cut down actually in staffing to operate this thing, it needs to be a linear design. So therefore, it needs to be spread out. We need to have these pods that are separated from each other, and we need the adequate space for that facility.
Okay, so we're talking 50 to 60 acres. So if people were thinking it was going to be downtown, think again.
Yeah, think again. It's not going to be downtown.
That's way too much.
The design that we have in mind, we can't accommodate it anywhere downtown. And, you know, I get the question, which we talked a little bit, yeah. Carl, about transportation. Well, you're going to have to transport them from the jail to the court on a regular basis. And this is true, but we've got a new courthouse going up now, which is across the street, not connected to the jail anymore. Just going across the street, we're going to have a transportation issue and have to transport these prisoners. So now it doesn't really matter if you're transporting them across the street or you're transporting them a few miles away.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Once, you know, it's the same, you have to use the same specific ways of doing it. You have to put them into a vehicle. So, yeah, whether you go across the street or wherever it is, 3, 5, 6 miles, 10 miles, it's still the same process.
It's still the same process. And of course, you know, I'm not ignorant to the fact that, yes, it takes more gas, takes more time. There's some other factors involved with that. But the basics of the transportation is the same.
What impact, I mean, you're talking about transportation, what impact has this cost of gas had on, does that, that comes out of your budget, right?
Oh yeah, it's impactful for everybody, yeah. It's a business, right? And we're on the road 24/7 with deputies and transporting prisoners and everything else, so mm-hmm. cost of gas eats into the budget.
Let's go to the phones. Pat, good morning. You have a question for the sheriff.
I do. Hey, Sheriff, what about that property at the east end of Breslauer that the county owns, where it dead ends against the river there? Is there enough acreage there for that?
East end of Breslauer. Okay, I know what you're talking about. You know what? To be honest with you, I haven't even looked at that one. We're in the stage right now where the county and us are all together and bringing up properties and looking at them and evaluating them for that. So I appreciate the suggestion. Actually, we'll pull that up and look there. I don't know how much property
is. Isn't that where the juvie is, Pat?
Further down Breslauer, beyond OES, beyond the old hospital, the road keeps going, and then it dead ends at the river, and it's kind of a large triangular-shaped piece of property. I don't really know how big it is, though.
Well, I think that's a great idea, so our inhabitants of the jail will have a river view.
A river view.
Yeah,
we could split that up and sell those suites for a little bit more.
Okay, if you want a river view, you've got to have, you've had to commit this kind of crime. Okay, thanks a lot, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. I'll look into it.
The impact on fuel, that takes away then from getting other things.
From other things. It always does, right? Whenever there's a cost item that goes up, whether that be, salaries or fuel or equipment or some other new mandate that our governor decides to throw on us and make our problem, it impacts our budget for sure.
What about the, we're talking about that impact, but what about personnel? How are we doing personnel?
We're getting better. We, like I said, I just swore in three new deputies Monday, which is great. Two laterals from Anderson PD came over to the sheriff's office, and we had a entry-level guy come in as well, so. Mm-hmm. Three in one day is a good deal, and we have several more in background, so it's starting to look, see some light at the end of the tunnel, Carl.
The city just passed an agreement. Well, they just passed something that said they're going to pay up to $40,000.
Yeah.
For a lat move.
Incentive hiring bonus. Yes, they did. Last night they just passed it.
And why do they do that?
Well, because that's the market. It's competitive out there, and you've got cities like Oakland offering $50,000 for signing bonuses, and you got others right in the 25 to 40 range. And so Redding's staying competitive. They came up with it. And when I talked to the chief and the captains over there, they told me that the cost they're putting into recruitment is so astronomical, and they're getting very little yield for that they would rather just put the money up front and offer it to people just to come.
Yeah, and that doesn't and for people that just, and this is the first time you've heard it, they don't get all the money up front. They've got to stay a certain length of time to get that whole $40,000.
Now, so. I didn't hear the particulars of it. I know what their initial proposal is, but I would bet they sign a contract to stay 2 or 3 years, and they probably get some of the money up front and then some of the money when they make it through their probationary period,
yeah,
and then maybe a little bit more down the
road.
And
then a year after that,
yeah,
at the end of the year. because it's cheaper in the long run, maybe even the short run, to get a lat move if they fit into our law enforcement system.
Yep.
Is that what you've discovered?
Oh, it is definitely. If you can get a lateral to come over, it's a huge impact on your organization. You don't have to train them as long. They already know how to be an officer. It cuts down on everything, equipment, everything.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning. My question for the sheriff is we've been talking about city-county cooperation since I was born, I'm 74, and we don't seem to get it. I think that the city needs to throw in a couple million a year for maintenance of this thing. We're clearing their streets with this thing. We're taking care of their mentally ill, and they don't seem to want to do anything but build a park. And I'll let you answer on the air. Thank you.
Whoa, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I like that.
It is a good question. So
thanks, John.
You know what? I I couldn't say I don't agree that they should foot a little bit of the bill as well, or at least pay into the project, because it is, they're the county seat, and this facility probably will most likely be still within the city limits of Reading in the footprint somewhere. So I'm sure that they will be brought into the fold.
The city does pay money to the county.
They pay booking fees to book people into the facility for sure. But
right. Is there any other money that they push forward?
I think he's referring to maybe a little bit more of a significant contribution to the long-term operations or annual operations of the facility. And I'm not at liberty to make that decision or tell you, yes, it's going to go one way or another. It's a little bit above my head, but I agree we should be cooperating together, and we're looking forward for the project that's going to serve the whole county.
Okay. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. Now we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Man's Last Stronghold, Cypress Grove Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across from Lucky Miller's. The veteran-owned business gives great haircuts. The only place I've had my haircut since I've lived here. Two things are consistent in my life. Linda and Cypress Square Barbershop. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. Like I said, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. We'll be right back.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bow to nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi. My name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. you'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Bob Brown, 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday, for a grueling 2 hours here.
Good morning, everybody. Currently 48 degrees in the downtown studios. You know that we're going to have a sunny with a high near 74 today, and tonight we'll have wheel increasing clouds with overnight lows of around 47. So we're kind of interesting that we're staying here within the 47 and the 74. Thursday will be cloudy with our temperatures around 70. I know I said this earlier in the program today. I've left all my house plants outside. So if there's any kind of precipitation, any kind of rain, and it's not too cold at night, they're just going to drink whatever they can get out of the sky.
Brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's it.
Better known business. That gives discounts for seniors and veterans. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and there's a number of questions that came in through the, just to Jared, and we'll get to two of them real quick. The ARC, which I guess was the Adult Rehabilitation Center.
Yeah, ARC was a project that then Chief Paletti of Redding PD and then Sheriff Tom Basenko were working on together in conjunction with probation and the DA and some other people. To build a new facility and accommodate a lot more bed spaces. And it was a good project. However, the project we're moving forward with now is, much more, I think, accommodating and complex, which brings in the fold a lot of different, aspects that maybe the ARC did or didn't, accommodate. Mm-hmm. But, it's definitely a different design and, it's looking for the long term. So we did consider that as well. And then the other comment, Carl, was
about the jail.
The jail.
What's going to happen to the old jail when a new jail gets built?
What's going to happen to the old jail? I don't have the answer to that. That's, that won't be determined by me. That'll be determined by the county. There's a couple other things I'd like to clean up that we talked about at the front.
I've got an idea for that. That could be a place for, homeless. Put them in the, jail facility there. They've got bathrooms. They've got all that neat stuff.
You know, and it's still a functioning jail, so if we built another facility, we could have a north and south or east and west, too. That's an option, I guess, but maybe not because of the age of it.
All right.
So a couple other things I want to clean up. So we were talking about the money for the jail and the Board of Supervisors. So it's my understanding, I don't have this completely clear, but I think there's only a portion of that money that can be used for the jail. And I'm not sure what that number is, 10 or 15 million, but whatever that portion is, and it's also my understanding that all of the soups, all five of them, were in favor of using whatever that maximal amount was. Now, I know Jones wanted to give the $32 million all for it, which I certainly appreciate. I'm public safety, so you know I'm going to support that.
Right.
But I think the fact of the matter is that all those supervisors are on board with giving the maximum amount.
Half of it could go into that, or whatever it is.
Which is great, because they're unified on that, and that is a need for the county. So they're all supporting something for the county, which is good news. And the other thing I failed to bring up is when we were talking, you're asking about the Sheriff's Department and how that was going, and kind of the temperature, Linda, you asked.
Yes.
So a point to how the temperature is going is the Deputy Sheriff's Association unanimously voted to endorse me in the next election. So that is a huge statement.
Huge.
To how
they didn't for the last sheriff.
The organization is coming together and backing what's going on.
Well, I think clearly that states, just to piggyback on what you're saying, is that they're liking the way that you're managing, and they're in alignment with, let's keep going. We need you in at the top a longer period of time because we're liking the way this is improving,
unfolding,
moving forward. So I think that says that right there says it all.
Thank you.
Here's a good question. Do you know about the Tierra Robles 166 home subdivision?
I do. I've actually been in touch with those folks, and it was on the agenda yesterday, but it went so long I had to leave and attend to some other business.
What kind of impact would that have on the sheriff's department?
Well, it's going to have a big impact. It's going to increase calls for service. It's going to increase things that we have to do and patrol and everything else. So it's going to have an impact.
Okay, that was the person asked about that. I personally think, and just in my opinion, it's a stupid idea. They're having to have above ground septic systems. Among other things, like water. But then again, I haven't talked to the guys from Tierra Robles. Maybe I need to have them come in and explain to me why this is such a good idea.
I think that'd probably be a good
166
idea. 166
homes.
I know, it's a lot.
It's a lot of homes.
And okay. a lot of calls for service. That's what it equates to for the sheriff's office.
What's your biggest, speaking of that, what is your biggest call for service?
The most common, is that what
common.
You're saying?
Yeah. What's the most common?
Most common is probably what we call a 415 disturbance, and that comes in the form of either domestic violence or just people under the influence that are assaulting each other. That's probably the most common type of call that we go to.
Okay. Which is also the most dangerous call. Isn't it?
It sure is.
The domestic violence.
Especially when you talk about those deputies responding to those domestic violence incidents that are very rural and out in the middle of nowhere. And they have to roll to that, and their back is not...
There's nobody there.
Not right around the corner.
It'd be good if you could have every one of your deputies have a dog.
I would love
Wouldn't that.
Wouldn't
that be great?
Oh, that'd be great.
Let's talk concealed carry.
Or how about we teach the dogs to drive?
Do that. If they had opposable thumbs, they'd just take over.
Right.
Concealed carry. How we doing with that? There was a backup, and you address it every month.
Yeah, we opened the doors regularly now on Fridays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. for walk-in, and just we'll issue it to you there. Because if you've gone through the process for like a renewal and you try to get...
I was going to talk about that.
And you try to schedule your appointment, it'll be a couple months out. Even if you go ahead and schedule that appointment, you can just walk in now on Friday. We'll take care of it right there and issue it to you.
Well, let me tell you that. Yeah, you know, I was so over by the time that it expired.
Right.
This was several months later. But once it was easy using your system, the online system, it was easy. And if you don't have a computer, you can go right down to the sheriff's office, I think almost any time, and just upload that stuff. Or does it have to
and
be
we'll
Friday?
Help you. It's a frustration
it
for some.
And so, but here's the thing is, that day I walked in, I had to change 3 guns out and do all this stuff. And she looks at my records, and she goes this, I had the guns unloaded, locked, open. And from the time I walked in there, because I had an appointment, there were other people standing there. I said I had an appointment at 2:20. She took my appointment before the people standing there, which, one, I really liked. And then she took care of it. I was out of there in 10 minutes with my piece of paper.
That is fabulous to hear.
But what's the backup right now? We still have a backup?
There is a backup still, but again, that backup is dictated by that calendar. And if you want to wait for your appointment date, if you don't want to wait, you can come in on that Friday time. Now I'm looking at even talking about trying to maybe open it for another window of time frame too. That way we can get kind of an alternate option for people to do. We really have been trying to make this a easier process for these folks, for people in my CCW carriers, because the CCW is something I strongly support, and it's our good folks, and I don't want to inconvenience our good folks of the county.
I want to ask this question, and I haven't asked it in a long time. Have we had any incidents of people with concealed carry having them pulled because of gun incidents? I know they can be pulled for a number of things, DUIs and all that.
We pull people's CCWs. I wouldn't say on a regular basis, but on an infrequent basis, we have an incident where they're involved with something, and we pull those CCWs.
Sure. That doesn't necessarily mean, but it doesn't mean a gun incident, though, right?
Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be a gun incident, but it could be anything where it lends to the lessens the credibility of the person that has been licensed to carry it, and behavior that we don't want to see associated with a guy that's or gal that's carrying around a gun.
Okay. All right. We're with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew. Shelley has had this place and been working it for over 30 years. They're open Monday through Saturday. Has the best walk-in humidor.
That's right.
North of Sacramento.
And Shelley,
maybe
the
in
owner.
Sacramento.
And Shelley, the owner, does, again, she has been with us since day one. Supporter, very big supporter of the veterans in our community.
Absolutely.
Another secret angel. I have to say that it's about our sponsors, many of whom you'll hear we do live reads for. We use them, we know them, and a lot of the sponsors that have been with us since the beginning do a lot of secret angel work in our community.
Yeah.
And tell us not to talk about it.
Yeah. And so we just did. They're located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Calling all country music fans. Come see up-and-coming country musician Mitchell Tenpenny perform live in concert Friday, April 1st, inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
I've been sober.
Yeah, this town's been telling me.
Tickets just $50 plus fee.
For tickets, call 1-800-280-WIN.
A must-see. Country sensation Mitchell Tenpenny in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, April 1st. Find your moment at the river.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Am I on?
Okay. You're on, baby.
I just have this. Microphone's not giving me what I need this morning. But anyway, so Carl's doing the dance over here. If you're watching this online, why don't you give us a score from 1 to 10? With us this morning is Sheriff Mike Johnson.
That has welcome to be an 11.
Welcome back to the program today on this Wednesday. We are so happy to have you with us this morning, Sheriff. Now, at the break, you were talking about the fact that you've got a new dog. Could you share our story about your hunting experience?
And the reason we're doing this is usually we talk about all law enforcement, but believe it or not, the sheriff and the DA and the chief of police, they're people.
Right.
And so you've been into this.
Yeah. So I have a brand new hunting dog, and her name is Brandy, and she's a yellow lab. And it's a great story of how I got a new dog. I should say it's a happy ending to a horrible story of how I got a new dog. So let me tell you the story. So I have been breeding and training hunting dogs since I was about the age of 14. And
did you know that, Carl?
The only reason I knew it is when we went to an engagement party over at a friend of ours' house, there was a photo.
Okay.
And I was talking to him, and it was about dogs.
Okay.
And there was a photo
this
of you.
Story is about that dog, Carl.
Okay.
And that's the only reason all I knew it. I had no idea that you were that involved.
Okay.
So this current dog that I had that is no longer with us, his name was Bo. And Bo was a big strap and stud, 104-pound, not ounce of fat on him, yellow lab that I had worked tirelessly for the last 7 years to get him tuned up perfect to where he's at.
Now,
and it takes time.
What did he do? What was his?
So he's a waterfowl and upland game dog.
Okay.
He'd hunt
so pheasants or
pheasants,
or
chuckers,
ducks,
geese, yeah. Ducks. That was
wow.
His thing.
Okay.
He was really good. So the day after Christmas, 2021 here, my son, my younger son, the Marine, is home for Christmas break. He works as a lineman now. And he wants to take Bo out hunting. So him and his friend take Bo out to the Paynes Creek Wildlife Area, duck hunting. And so they get there at 5 a.m. and they get out of their car and the dog's with them. And as they start to walk out to the ponds, another car pulls in and it's 2 19-year-old kids. They're also duck hunters. So they head out to the ponds kind of behind my son and his friend. And they're about 100 yards behind him. So my son and his friend kind of split up and start setting up decoys. And these kids come right up the middle of where they're setting up the decoys. Now it's about 5:20 a.m, pitch dark. Pitch dark. And so all of a sudden, my son hears a gunshot. And he hollers at the other kid, you know, what the heck's going on over there? And the kid yells to him, I just shot a coyote.
Oh, my God. Oh, my heart just.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
It was your dog.
It was my dog. Yep.
Now, let me ask this question. This is what flashed into my head right now. Are there devices? See, there's an etiquette that.
Let me finish.
This is just wrong.
So right. Of course, so I'm in San Diego at my older son's house visiting when this happens, and my son calls me from the field right when it happens, and my son's screaming and yelling at this kid, and I could hear him. He's marching at him, and then the phone goes dead, and I told my wife, hope my son doesn't go to prison because he's mad and somebody just shot our dog. So I called the fish and game warden immediately and sent the warden out to the site so he can intervene and we don't have a horrible
further incident. Worse.
So the bottom line is my son had to, pouring rain that day, good duck hunting weather, right, wind and stuff, had to drag the dog back to the truck, take him out to my friend's ranch, and dig a hole and bury him. So here's the happy part ending to this horrible story. So I'm working with a guy by the name of Ryan Burks, who is owns a local cattle company, and
I know Ryan Burks very well.
Okay, and construction.
He's got a construction company. Because we bought our horse from Ryan.
Okay, so Ryan is working on doing some local scholarships for blue collar people in the name of his dad.
Right.
And so the sheriff's department is going to be a recipient of one of those annual scholarships. So me and Ryan are talking, and I've never met Ryan. I was introduced to him by a mutual friend, and we're talking all this through to kind of work out the details of the scholarship. We start talking, and of course, Ryan's a hunter and a dog trainer and a breeder as well. So we have some common ground. We just start talking, and he a few days later heard the story of what happened with my dog, the tragic story that I just taught you, calls me up. I know him for about literally a week, calls me up and says, my family would like to give you a fully trained yellow lab that we have, because we have four of them right now, and it's this tragic story. My family would like to just give you the dog. So his family, the Burks family, gave me this 3-year-old yellow female who's just a phenomenal hunter. I've taken her out goose hunting twice. She is just a sweetheart of a dog, and she's now part of my family thanks to them, and replaced my dog that got killed.
Well, the Burks family,
that's a wonderful story, Mike.
His dad was one in the
distributor for the West Coast,
for
Budweiser.
Budweiser,
yeah,
and died suddenly.
Big community guy, great guy,
very
well known.
Yeah.
So the picture you saw of that dog in that person's house that went hunting with me was the dog that got killed.
Oh my gosh.
So can we go back? I mean, that's a fabulous story. I don't know how much time we have, but the hunting etiquette, I mean, you could understand that if he didn't realize there were other people out there and they didn't have a dog, that maybe
It's completely inexcusable. No, I've never heard such a story happen in all the years I've
hunted. He shot at something, but he couldn't identify.
All he could see was the eyes of the dog, and it's a big, goofy, happy lab. It looks nothing like a coyote.
Okay, so then we can understand that. But the point is that what happened? Was there an apology? What happened with these two young gentlemen that were out there that day? Did they help with the removal of the dog? Was there any kind of remorse?
We'll talk off air.
Okay.
Okay, we've got like 2 minutes left. And speaking of hunting, I have tickets to the Sportsman's Expo on April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. I have 2 tickets or I have 4 tickets. If you got a little family thing going now, kids 12 and under are free. And veterans get in free on Sunday. But if you'd like a couple of tickets for Saturday or Sunday, give us a call at 605-4567. Sheriff, thanks. I know that's
tough.
Thank
you.
And watching you do this. But, you know, one of the things that we need to do for everybody that comes in here that's in a public position is sometimes people just fixate on the fact that that's all they see. They see a DA. They see a city council person. They see a sheriff or a chief of police. That you are people.
And
also have tragedies in your life. In this case, it was a tragedy. We've lost our dog. And it's funny, Ryan Burt, because that's who we bought our horse from.
And, you know, Carl, I appreciate you you pointing that out, you know, because I tell people this all the time. Sheriff Johnson is what I do for a living. It's not who I am. I mean, I have a job, a responsibility, and I love my career, and I love serving the community. But I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm just a normal guy that likes to hunt and fish and train dogs. That's who I am. And so this story is tragic as it is, with a good ending, is an example of that, just who I am.
Okay. Give me a call, 605-4567, and get your tickets. And you can pick them up today, or it's quickly approaching, April 2nd and 3rd. Sheriff, you know, thank you so much
for being with us.
You know, thanks for sharing that. I know you're going to put it out later on, but this, again,
your Sheriff Mike Johnson until you leave the office. Then you've got a big goofy, you know, labs, and they are big and goofy.
They are.
So anyway,
thank you. Thank
tomorrow
you
Trish Clark will join us tomorrow, and we've got, gosh, what do we have? We have a bunch of, I think we have some politicians coming on and other people too. I should have probably checked. Anyway, everybody have a great day and tune in tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m.
Well,
Free Fire Radio.
Back down, no, I won't. Back down. You can stand me up at the